Welcome back. And we decided to look at heart, and Al has passed out copies for everyone to use as a guide. But I think before we dive in to actually heart or dominion, I'd like to kind of like open it up to kind of a conversation or questions on how we want to proceed. I had sent out an email to everyone stating that I'm not sure that, you know, a committee process with the 1, 2, 3s ranking little charts that Al gave us was something that was going to really work for us. So I'm not really sure, you know, what is the best way. So I just kind of came up with some kind of overarching questions, kind of big picture questions that we could possibly use as our guiding principle in terms of evaluating these. But I'm leaving it open to discussion and for anyone that may have comments on that. Yes, Debbie?
Thanks, Deb Gardner. I appreciated your email yesterday because in all due respect to Al's stuff that he sent out to me, it felt like you needed to be a professional evaluator to really. I spent about an hour trying to get all the pages in the right spot, and then I thought, well, I could have been reading something at that point. But so I appreciated it because I think it's a good way to be organized, and in the end, you need to be, somebody needs to be really objective about this, but then given my professional background, probably I'm not the one that needs to do that part of it. So alternative ways to kind of take in the information and then put out some thoughts about it would be appreciated.
Madam Chair, this is Al. Perhaps if I gave a little overview about how the evaluation process is happening, that might help everybody. In addition to this committee's review, the public participation panel will also be reviewing all the proposals. They are scheduled to meet next week. But we also have evaluators, election professionals from the counties doing some evaluation. We have 5 counties that are doing that. We have the elections folks on our staff, the voting systems people, as well as a couple of other members of our staff who have worked out in counties and worked with voting systems and are now working here at the state. They're doing evaluations as well. So that's kind of what's going on. We got you probably, if you've read the emails, you know we got 10 proposals in. Just for the record, I think I'll just list those. We got proposals from Everyone Counts, Dominion Voting, Heart InterCivic, Election Systems and Services, Clear Ballot, Runbeck, Pitney Bowes, Bell and Howell, 5 Cedars, and I3 Ballot. Now, we have 5 Everyone Counts, Dominion, Heart, ES&S, and Clear Ballot that are proposing voting systems. Then Runbeck, Pitney Bowes, Bell and Howell are proposing systems to deal with signatures, envelopes, those sorts of things. 5 Cedars is a specialty company that that deals in accessible ballot formats, alternate ballot formats for accessibility purposes. And then I3 Ballot is the ballot tracking is what they are proposing. So that's the breadth of what we've got to deal with. So we've got five vendors that are proposing voting systems. Of those 5 systems that are proposed, none are currently certified in Colorado with the versions that they have proposed. The only vendor submitting that is totally EAC certified is Dominion, and it's also certified in several other states. Heart system is in the EAC process, but there's a notice on the EAC site that it's on hold at the present. I'm not sure why. ES&S has a system in the EAC process, but it doesn't appear to be the system that they have proposed for Colorado. certain components of Everyone Counts are certified in Florida, and they're registered with the EAC, but they don't have any active certifications in process. And Clear Ballot is not certified anywhere, but is in process in the state of New York. So certification will become an issue, depending upon the choices we make. And we knew from the beginning that it could. And as we've discussed before, at the Secretary's direction, we've had discussions with SLI here in Denver, which is a certified voting systems laboratory. And they've given us an estimate that if they only have to certify to Colorado standards, they get somebody that's already federally certified and only need to certify to Colorado standards, that's a 3 to 4 month process. If they need to do the full certification to EAC standards and Colorado standards, that's a 10 to 14 month process. That has implications for the scheduling of pilot elections as you look at 2015. So just that's just kind of where we are with the whole situation, and that's about the extent of my overview. Oh, we got 42 cases of binders, and by the way, because we required every vendor to send us 20 copies of their business proposal, their cost proposal, several of them sent binders with confidential information and technical information as well. So we have an entire office devoted to boxes of binders of proposals.
I just have a question about certification. If I understand it correctly, our state statute right now will accept systems that are not EAC certified but are certified in another state that we could work from. Is that correct?
I think that we require EAC certification. I would have to get the voting systems people in here to tell you that for sure, but I think that any system we put in, we would want to have certified to EAC standards. That doesn't mean that we have to submit it to the EAC to do it. It can be done through the lab.
But then I guess my next question, which would be, which EAC standard? You have the 2002, 2005, and
well, everything. Yeah, our statute, which needs to be changed, as you well know, talks about 2002 standards. There is nothing that's proposed that's to 2002 standards. Everything's to 2005, so the statute is going to need to be changed because there's just absolutely nothing to buy that meets that standard.
And if, excuse me, this is Donetta, and if it's in EAC currently, it will be tested to the 2005. Nothing can be tested to the old standard.
The logic there is that the 2005 encompasses all of the 2002 plus.
Just to kind of give an editorial on the importance of certification. I mean, the need for certification is to get the bugs out, get the issues and those things that are not going to work out of the system. So to me, it gives me pause to see that we receive so many of the vendors that are not even certified in any state, meaning that they haven't gone through any testing that has any type of certification to it. So that, you know, gives me a few heart palpitations on that. So, Sheila?
And yet then on the other hand, our committee has also talked about getting it wide open to see what's out there so that we can make decisions without being tethered, if you will.
Oh, I agree.
To old standards. So I just wanted to throw that out there. We've talked about both things.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Which has brought up, though, I think as we talked about it, we said, you know, we asked what the process was. Is it first going to be certified, and then we do the RFP, or RFP, and then certification? So obviously the contract would have to be written, if there is a contract, to say that it would have to meet the certifications and go through that process before anything could be purchased. Does that make sense? I have a question, though, because we did want to make things. We want to keep it really open and really broad, and we're not going to test until, you know, what we've said to at least 2015. What if there's something developed in between from we'll say even the vendors that we think should be, you know, maybe there's three vendors that we send a list of names to the secretary. What if that one of those three vendors come up with a new system that is even more proactive in the future of kind of how Colorado is moving and going and it's more reasonable and so on? Would we look at that system? It's the same vendor. Would we look at that system and say, gosh, you have moved forward. Technology's changed. Would we write the contract where that allows us to take that kind of options?
I guess I'm going to look to the state to see how are they anticipating that.
This is Al, and I don't know that I can answer that, but elections industry is constantly evolving. There's always going to be something new, and at some point you have to say, you know, here's what we have. Now, what might happen is that they develop something that is an upgrade to what they already have in service. That's the most likely. We're in a situation right now where there are totally new systems developed because the systems that everybody's using were developed back in the early 2000s, right after the 2000 election and HAVA and all of that. So this is a new breed of system that's out now, and I would expect that we're not going to see a new breed of system every few years. It's been over 10 years now, so I think we're positioned pretty well for getting the latest systems that are out there. Now, that doesn't mean something new won't come along, but I think a total evolutionary system is unlikely from any of the vendors that have proposed here.
Debbie?
Deb Gardner. So is it possible that the standards that were developed in 2005, that now there are systems out there that have features that we might be desired to have in our new system that wouldn't even be applicable to the standards that were developed before? You know, they've exceeded that in some way. And then what... I mean, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but I can anticipate that situation where it maybe wouldn't meet the standards of 2005, but in fact it was better than what was developed. What happens in those kinds of scenarios?
This is Donetta. I'm aware that there is a lot of the companies that are building to the standards that is really draft standards that they haven't had the commissioners there to vote on, so many of them are building to those standards, so it is above the 2005 because they see that it's not something that's in there. You know, it doesn't make sense for them to build to 2005 when they know new standards are going to drop at any time, so they're building to those new drafts, most of them.
You kind of need to assume that the new builds are encompassing the 2005 standards plus.
Yeah,
correct. More security and more accessibility is the main areas, I should say. That's not everything, but.
Is there any comment, one of the first comments that I put in the email to everyone stated about the, you know, the mail ballot and the experience that we had in this last 2013 election? I just want to kind of put that on the table to see if there is anything that happened or didn't happen during that. Ooh, Sheila comes with lots of paper. That may influence or have a bearing on how we read or evaluate these proposals.
Yeah, I think definitely that there's things we can look at. For the 2013 coordinated election, the method of voting was captured through vote credits. And so we pulled a report statewide. And for instance, in Adams County, which is just the first one listed, is the only reason I'm picking on Adams, there were only three people that requested an in-person paper ballot. So, and there was, on election day, there were only two people that requested an in-person paper ballot. The majority of their ballots processed were definitely mail, like all the other counties. And so in my mind, this could cause a voter make it tougher for us to make our ballots open to public inspection if they're not all in the same format. So I really appreciated your comments on that email about looking at, you know, the way the voters are choosing to vote. Mm-hmm. And even in the paper ballot part's probably not as concerning because it looks like a mail ballot. But the DREs also, if you look at Arapahoe, there were a number of days where only one voter used the DRE that entire day. So their voter credit, if matched up with the VPAT record from the DRE, could put their voter anonymity at issue. So at any rate, I think that was a good thought. And these numbers show that the in-person voting is small enough that it could breach that and cause an issue for Colorado, as it has in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yes, George?
I know this is it's a potential issue, but one thing that was raised by 1303 that affected some jurisdictions and some people questioned the residency dates that were applicable, and apparently we've now have at least, this is, I believe in litigation, but in some jurisdictions where the 1303 puts a number of days of residency that you'd have to be in a jurisdiction in order to be eligible to vote, but then they are potentially different numbers of days that apply to different ballot issues. So it's a further complication within the systems, and I'm not sure if within these individual systems that they put together, they'd have to figure out how to determine what votes are counted for which ballot issues.
If I could speak to that for a second. This is Sheila, and I think you're right in that there are different, the different residency dates cropped its head during this last election for us, but that's really the score side, not the voting equipment side. So it's still a human in the middle who is determining the voter's eligibility and then choosing the ballot style to issue, if that makes sense. So I don't know if any of the RFPs that we'll be reviewing will have any bearing on that.
Yeah, I think it's still, there may be a little bit of both in the end. I'm not sure. I'm just raising the point that it's a further complication that it's not quite as clear that if you are okay for one issue, that you're okay for everything on that potential ballot, and so on. It's just one of these areas that they found out this year is not quite as clear as they would have liked.
Yes, and this is Donetta, and I'm aware in the Secretary of State's office is also that there is legislation by special districts, municipalities, school districts that's got a bill and nonpartisan elections to make sure the dates are all the same. So for the future, if that legislation is passed, that issue would not be on the table.
Right. Certainly that can be cleared up, and it may well be cleared up by the time the next election happens. As of right now, there's still that discrepancy, and I know people are looking at it, and it may go away, but I just raised it because it's an issue that's still alive as of right now, and if it continued and it didn't pass in every jurisdiction, it's still something that we'd have to deal with on a county-by-county basis.
The other question I have is, I know there are three companies that already have been awarded contracts through the state that the two vendors that I've read, Hart and Dominion, offer some of the components that are already been awarded, SOEs, the Rombax, the Ballot on Demand, and Everyone Counts, the Uocava votes. I mean, some of these vendors are offering that same service. And would we have the ability to, if we chose a vendor that offered that, get their whole suite of possibilities versus trying to piecemeal it out to those other contracts that we already have for the state? Sheila?
Do we have a contract, though? Because I think last we heard, we're still negotiating.
Oh, I don't know.
Is that correct?
I don't know.
Al, do you know? If the state has a contract formally with Runbeck yet for the ballot on demand printers. That's what I thought too.
You know, but the bigger question I'm asking is that, you know, some of these larger vendors that put proposals together can offer all of the same services that these individual vendors have already had agreements or contracts or something with the state. And I'm asking the question in the event that if we wanted to go with, say, ES&S and their whole suite of, yeah, can we then forgo these individual contracts or agreements that the state has? Wayne?
Well, since every contract in Colorado, unless you've got voter approval, has to be subject to funding, effectively, because of the provisions of Tabor, I think the answer is yes. Because you can't bind a contract for more than a year. So you can simply not fund the contract.
And then guess what?
And do it that way.
Good point.
I think that's the answer.
Okay.
Sorry, I was a little bit late.
No, that's okay. Welcome. Okay, Connie?
And like, you know, it would be good if they have offered a suite. You know, you'd want to keep it all in one package deal. It's just less problems for that cog in the wheel for something to go wrong. So I would hope that we would be able to stick with one suite of product if they offer everything.
Okay. Any other comments, questions before we start into kind of the comments and discussion on HART? Okay. Let's just start out with, did anybody like it? Let's just be honest. No. I mean, I'll start. I liked it. I mean, I'm not saying I didn't, but I think the only concern I had was everything they have is proprietary. There isn't anything off the shelf. Coming from their proposal. So, you know, I think we need to keep that in mind as we're, which might be okay. I don't know, but I just think that gave me some concern. And when I'm reading some of the other proposals, that they have some off the shelf products also. So, Connie?
And that would be true because anything proprietary they have, you basically over the barrel. You know, because, you know, there isn't any competition out there. So not that it would not be a bad thing because the system is fine because that's what we use now. However, you know, it's just the costs would be what might be the end, big end concern.
And I think I would add that, however, proprietary stuff can help add security to a system.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So there's a balance to be had there so that the conspiracy that, you know, hacking happens or things get changed is also very well protected in some of those systems that have proprietary components.
And back to Sheila's point, that also happens with the finger pointing. You know, they're always, if there's something going wrong, then they're always pointing at the other vendor who provided something, whatever piece of equipment, what has to be that other piece of equipment. So when it's proprietary, you know, they are totally responsible.
Mm-hmm. This is Donetta. The question I would have is if we have a third party that is doing ballot, you know, if we go to that in the long run, in the future, does that make it tougher for that, whether it's a college that's going to do our setting up the ballots or working, do we, you know, does it make it more costly because everything is that way? Some of the companies you have to buy, and I didn't see that on the pay, if I remember right, I think it said that you could use clear paper. And I may have had them switch. But anyway, I think we need to really look at that. If you have to buy the paper from them, then that means that they're the only ones that can print it, and so on. That can be more expensive, and they've got you over a barrel.
And the other question I had was, I didn't see in the proposal anywhere where they, where Hart was offering or even suggested that we could do a pilot program. However, I know the other one that we were going to review did mention that. Al, do you know if they had said anything that that would be workable for their system?
Maybe not explicitly said that, but I think made it very clear in the following.
Okay, I just didn't see it in there. It might have been, but
I don't think they asked that specific question.
Okay.
You know, I, as you said, some of us, I don't know about all of us, but some of us is not as techy. And when I got into their how they were building it and the software they were using, the language they were using, I wasn't sure that was the most up-to-date. I think that needs to be really, I'd like for the committee that really reviews that type of thing to look in that. Because I think that makes a difference of what language it's written in and what the, so that was one of my concerns. But it could be. I just don't have the knowledge to know whether it is.
George?
I'm sorry if we're just jumping around different
things
that we
that's
saw.
That's fine.
But I don't know what's market for this kind of a system, but I noticed that there was a one-year warranty that they offered on this, and it seems like that's a pretty short period.
Very short.
Especially if that doesn't get us through a general election where we really have a chance to test it in action. That jumped out at me as something that we might want to talk to them about. The second thing was I did notice that they mentioned that certification was in process, but then Al had mentioned that it had been noted that it had been suspended. So I'm not quite sure what that means. I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing or not. It's more of a question.
It's the process that's used at the EAC. It's brought in and they start reviewing and sit down with the companies that come into the process. And if there's issues immediately, they put it on hold so that can be adjusted, clarified, changed, whatever the problem might be. I don't have any idea, but there had to be something to stop the process. And then they'll come back once that has been corrected and they'll start again.
So it may just be that's the normal process of back and forth.
Yeah, it could be as much as months. It could be a day or two.
Okay, thank you.
Question I had, how different is the Verity system from what's being used in Colorado now by Hart? Because we don't have a Hart system, so I don't know it at all, and so I'm hoping that someone can tell me, is this radically different or very similar with just some updates?
I witnessed the demo last time we were in Pueblo, so a year ago, and they were just starting to show some of this, the Verity, I guess is how you say it. Mm-hmm. It looked pretty similar to me on, you know, a ballot build, a jurisdiction build, a layout, and then a media burn for the pieces of equipment. So it seemed similar to what we're using in the state.
I do, if I understand correctly, it's Donetta, that this would be the first state that this, because it is a new enough system that we would be the first. And as we know, it's the first time they've ever taken a system into EAC. So this is I looked at it as being really a pretty fresh system, whether it's a software or what, but it's pretty fresh.
Yeah, I did check yesterday and ask them if it was in any other state, and they said, no, this is the first time that it was would be rolled out. But that was going to be my question then, because I know Al had provided some information about some concerns about the current system, which is 6.2.1, and this is a totally different system. So my concern, or my question to Al would be, would any of these things even be appropriate or are a note? That's not the right word, but I was just concerned or wondering because, you know, they had like five different things which they were concerned about the 6.2. I'm just wondering if that rolls over to the Verity, or that would that be something that the group would check in on, the next group, the individuals that are more techie?
I'm certain that our voting systems people would be doing that kind of advice.
Okay. Because I would just, yeah. Because it was saying authentication failures, I can't even say it, lease privilege violations, and there were a few other things in there that, you know, we would want to make sure that Verity wouldn't have those same issues. So
I just wanted to clarify, it wasn't Pueblo where I saw it, it was Savannah, Georgia, so the time frame was quite different. It was just a few months ago.
Mm. Any other general comments? Okay. What I'd like to do is, because, I mean, what I did is I jotted down everything I was kind of mentioned that we saw as important to take note. And one of them was the language that the system was written in, the warranty, their ability to do a pilot, the, you know, the certification, where are they at, you know, what, you know, why is it on hold? Some of the security, I mean, this was kind of the security of the system, the ability for anonymity in the event that we have one person on a machine, that kind of thing. And then, you know, where has it been deployed elsewhere in the world or the United States? Are there any other issues in it? Because I just want to make sure that we're kind of comparing apples to apples so that we look at these same criteria, you know, as we get to Dominion or ES&S. George?
You mentioned the other places where it's being deployed, and I noticed that some of them are actually in active RFP processes with those other jurisdictions. I don't know if it's the normal habit then for us to be able to call some of those other states and see, are they delivering on what they're promising? How is that process going with them? You know, if we decide to go down the road with any particular one, you know, do they have a good track record of actually coming through with what, you know, they're doing? So we take advantage of the experience the other states have had. So I would think that they're going to try to put their best foot forward with the other ones, and if they're faltering with the other ones, they may do the same with us.
And I think we have a track record because we have several counties. It's on the system of how our, you know, how satisfied our counties are. It would be important to, you know, really look into that too.
Right, and I'm not just talking about HART. Yeah, it's anybody we would go with, I think, is probably bidding on these similar type RFPs throughout the country, and it would apply to any of them equally, I think.
Yes. I just want to speak on behalf of the disability community as far as the anonymity goes. And one of the concerns I talked to Faith about, what would be a concern of this and her part on this committee, would have been a lot of people with disabilities use the different types of equipment, especially if you're a blind voter. So if you are turning in a ballot that's a little different because of the accessibility issues, that would be maybe a problem with privacy or anonymity. So just coming from that angle, something to look at.
Yes, Connie? The only other thought I had was the audit procedures. We have to meet the 2017 deadline for those.
What they use. One of the other things is I reviewed the survey we put out, and there were three items that were the number one things that they, the counties really were looking at. I mean, they were far and above any of the others. And one of them having to do with the help support. What kind of help support is this company going to supply? I can't remember if it was this one or which one I read, where it was quite a convoluted process where you had to put in a help ticket, and then they escalated it, and then it went here, and, you know, on election night, you know, I'm not going to put in a help ticket.
Help!
Really. But anyway, I just think we need to what kind of support, help support, you know, are we going to get from the company? The other one was the trusted build, was the other issue that was really high. And the third one was
maintenance.
That's right.
Which I was going to add as well is what the maintenance plans are under the different companies for ongoing maintenance and fees.
Dovetails what George said in terms of the warranty.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, look at ongoing maintenance and, you know, that cost as it escalates every year.
Yeah, they just keep hitting you.
Yeah.
Usually the states have been doing it the last few years. In the contract, it has several years of maintenance that is included and upgrades.
Yes, Debbie?
Did you get on your list the proprietary nature of?
Yep. No, I did not.
Okay, thanks. I know that's an issue for lots of us.
Okay. Yep, proprietary nature.
And while you're making a list of things, the ability to program as a particular jurisdiction needs, I think is...
I should have brought that up. My staff, yes. The flexibility for staff within the county.
For my staff, that's one of the critical things for them.
Mine too. Right.
And how easy it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, definitely, because, I mean, some systems are very difficult that you have to have the company themselves actually do the programming, and that's a cost that the counties are paying every year.
Yep.
And that doesn't make sense. Number one, you want the separation from a vendor to the county to be able to take that responsibility on. You don't want a vendor doing it, in my words, or my thinking.
Well... And there might be some counties of some sizes that might want someone doing that.
Right.
But I think at the larger size, you want the ability to make this fit the needs that you have in your particular county without having to pay someone from outside to come in every time you have a yet another special district election.
We want the flexibility in a system that has... You could have a third party, you know, like a college or something, do the programming for the counties, or as many counties as possible do their own, and then the flexibility that a county that wanted to do some type of contracting could. So we're asking for the world in that arena. Give us it all.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. One other item. We think it's really important to have some robust reports that what's presented out there is, you know, going to be usable for the counties.
Okay. And so, I mean, given this all this criteria, I mean, just to kind of a gut from what you read from Hart, did Hart meet all these?
Mm-hmm. Nah, I can't say. I thought they met them all.
Mm-hmm. Maintenance and warranty.
Proprietary. So the cost might be better, but the security might be better.
And are we for sure grading proprietary as a bad thing, though?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, we just need to make note.
And a lot of this will come out when they have to do their presentation. And we can ask questions. I mean, you know, are we part of that process, Al?
Yes.
When they do their demo, we ought to have this list because we ought to be able to cover all this. So how flexible are you on the issue that you're only giving 1 year of whatever, that, you know, what does that cover and why are you saying only 1 year?
Yeah, but what if Hart doesn't even get to the demo? I'm just, you know, I mean, that's why I'm trying to look at it right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all we can go by right now is what's on paper. Uh-huh. And we can't go by, well, let's ask them at the demo. What if they don't even make it?
I'd like to hear what the technical people say about it before I would be grading much of it.
When are their responses due, Al?
On the same timeline.
But I think to follow up on that, though, is to a certain extent, although there is a decent amount of election knowledge here, until we hear what our technical people say, it's hard for us to give definitive answers. And so in terms of, you know, this committee giving its input, at least for me, until I've got one of the technical people who's reviewing, it's Tim Bishop in my office, and until he's finished his review, it's hard for me to say, yes, this sounds great, because I rely on the technical people who actually know what they're doing. And so I don't know that I want them on the same timetable as us. I would like to get their responses first before we rank what we want.
Mm-hmm. One thing I'd note about the HART system is it appears that their electronic voting system that's ADA compliant would produce a ballot in a different format than the mail ballot or in-person in-person paper votes, which a lot of them do. But I think that was one of the things that we noted on our list that might be of interest to us, is to produce a end result in a ballot that's the same for all voters. So
that way it doesn't have to be duplicated to make sure that it's the privacy is maintained.
Well, our chair had to step away for about a half an hour break. She has another conflicting meeting, so I got the list, so
great.
We continue on.
Sheila, I did think of one other item that I think it would be really important, and maybe not us, but again, the tech committee. But one thing which is concerning to us is battery backups or backup systems for these pieces of equipment. We need to know in advance if we're going to have to buy a whole new generator system in order to back up these pieces of equipment, as in case the power goes out, we have a bad snowstorm, or if there's something really built in. And that can be very, very expensive. So that to me really is another key issue we need to add and look at.
Yeah, and I don't know remember where it was at, but they talked about battery and how often, I think it was every 3 years it had to be replaced.
I think, I recall, with the current HART system, they do that, and it's just minuscule. It's just a little bitty battery. But I thought that I read also in the other one that we read it was the same type thing. But yeah, that would be something, because, you know, it's going to take somebody to come out physically and come and do it, so you know that there's an additional cost there every 3 years for them to come out and look up the system.
You can't do yourself, huh?
You get into those pieces of equipment and you'll void your warranty.
Oh. Well, not every company does that.
Yeah, so our system allows us to replace the batteries.
Yeah, so it just depends.
Yeah, that's a question. That's a good question.
Yeah, it is.
You have to have a tech to do simple things, or does that hurt your warranty?
Mm-hmm. Right. Good question.
Because if that ballot, if that voids your warranty, that's a problem.
Right.
Sorry, I can't resist. With 1 year warranty and the battery life, it's probably not an issue if we only have only 1 year on it. Another reason why that's such a bad period of time.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, I think the ones I have read, it's not. And it wasn't HART. It was another one, but it seems like that's what they most often do. I think most of the vendors are 1 year
or 1 year warranty,
or extended warranty. But the point is, even with Colorado, I think that's pretty.
Well, and that may be something that's negotiable in your contract, because most states have far more than 1 year.
I'm sure there are HART people listening to this that are just like, no, that's not what it means. I agree. I can envision this across the nation.
It's my phone number they have, so I expect I'll be here.
Yeah, your phone will be loaded up after this. From what I can see in the HART proposal, the media that is used is all modern. Some of the systems that we currently use today, you know, have outdated, like, floppy disks that are in use, you know. So that's one thing. But it looks like I'm sure that everything that we get now will have updated media for record storage and that kind of stuff. I don't know. Anybody else?
I had a question, and maybe, and I couldn't discern the answer to this. So, like, you know, we've got HART now, and we're in the situation of wanting to upgrade our Windows version. You're probably in the same position, and where that means that HART has to come up in, and after we buy new equipment, then load all their software on there, where, you know, a normal vendor, you could load the software on there itself. And so, you know, there's an expense that we're having to incur that you wouldn't normally have to. And I would anticipate that we would be upgrading computers more often and upgrading operating systems more often going into the future, just because that's kind of the way of the world. And so is that, with HART or others, an expense that could be avoided by having a different kind of arrangement, I guess?
Yeah, well, not reviewing all of them yet, but I know there are systems that have fairly simple instructions on how to upload and upgrade software. I know, I think HART may be the only vendor left that's on that old version of Windows. Do you think, Wayne? Are you, you're not on Windows 2000 still on your system, are you?
I will know shortly.
Okay. You'll get a text?
And then I know that on the HART, they have been approved to move to Windows 7. So we can.
But to Deb's point, though, they have to come and do the installation.
And the cost.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the current system she was talking about, in case if there's people out there that's listening.
What's proposed.
Yeah, what we're talking about.
The technical committee will determine that, but that's definitely something we should pass to them to keep in mind.
And then I was looking at the training, comparing this one to some of the other ones. And
is your mic on?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think the training looked fairly in-depth. You know, it looked very good. And but like I said, we've only checked a couple of them out so far that I've looked at. But it looked very extensive.
And the answer, Sheila, is we're on 2003, server 2003.
I believe our county's on Windows XP. You know, who mentioned auditing earlier? Did you see page B57 at the very end? B57. It's like literally the second to the last page in the entire binder. It occurs to me that we may not have asked for the UVS requirement to be up to par with the risk limiting audit. Do you think that we asked them that specifically, Al?
Well, I thought we did.
Yeah, I mean, there's some place we have.
It's there. I'm looking for it. Here it is. Actually, it's B54.
My pages aren't matching yours.
B-A-B? B like boy, 54?
Okay.
down at the bottom with H.
It says support a risk limit audit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think because the vision of the risk limiting audit would be a third party.
But some do are capable of doing their own.
But I thought that we'd had discussion about the validity of that, having a company audit themselves, their own. I don't really remember. I was not a pilot in the risk limiting audit. Our county wasn't, so I don't have a whole lot of knowledge on that.
I would think if it's separate, because you could test it.
Even if it was the same vendor providing mm-hmm. the support? Okay. Okay. Do you have any other concerns or thoughts about the HART proposal at this point? Should we move on to Dominion?
I'm just kind of interested in where the process going. You raised a number of issues that are general issues and not specifically HART related as you went through this.
Well, I think we came up with
a number of issues that you want to look at throughout your review of all of these.
Well, I think what I understood was that we had a concern about ongoing maintenance, for instance, like battery replacement,
right.
Software upgrades with HART, the one-year warranty, and not seeing anything in here about ongoing maintenance. And then whether proprietary or non-proprietary is the way the committee wants to go. But I think that Deb raised a concern about HART that it was proprietary.
I'll go back and listen to the tape and do the summary.
Anybody else hear anything different of the concerns that we have with the HART proposal?
Well, and it was specific to this that I was talking about with the HART is the software. And the language it was written in, because I didn't recognize it.
That's right.
And it just could be because I'm not techie enough.
And I guess we should also talk about the positive things about HART. Mm-hmm. It's installed in the majority of counties currently, so the majority of counties have a familiarity with the vendor.
And we have HART, this is Connie, and I can speak for their help desk abilities. They're always on top of that. They do some great training. I don't have anything bad to say about them, you know. And mm-hmm. so, if anything, they have been great to work with. So that's my experience.
And on that note, also a positive comment that you offered earlier was that their training plan in this RFP mm-hmm. was very, very thorough.
Right.
I guess another positive thing about HART would be that not only in our state, but across the country, they're a fairly prevalent voting system vendor.
Right, it's in several states. I mean, with Oklahoma, I guess we could check that too. I mean, how many states each one of them is in, or counties? I think what we call there's 33 in Dominion. That will speak for itself.
Connie, can you speak up?
Oh, sure. I said that would speak for itself, you know, how many counties and or states they are in
while keeping in mind that this particular offer is not currently in any,
yeah.
But the vendor has a history in that many jurisdictions.
That's
okay.
True.
And we have gathered considerable information about where they currently exist and their prior experiences and their contact information. We will follow all that up.
I noticed they give you a lot of names and numbers and so that you could follow up. It's always interesting, and for in any of them, it's almost like, okay, I'll call them and then I'll ask them to give us a name of, you know, somebody else, because they're only going to give you, it's like a, when you're interviewing a new employee, they only give you the names of people that's going to give them a good recommendation. It'd be interesting to see.
And one of the ways we tried to address that was to ask them about their prior proposals, whether they were successful or
good.
Not.
I noticed that.
And,
yeah, that was
and
good.
We have some that are not. I think it's worthwhile to call those people and find out why they chose someone else.
That's a good point.
And from what I've seen so far, and I haven't had time to read very much of this, I've been busy working on the distribution of it all. They did respond. Most of the vendors did respond to that.
I noticed that. George?
I'm not sure if this is for this group or more a technical point, but as I was going through the responses to the systems requirements in this Appendix B, obviously the general answer you get for almost every question is response code 1. That it absolutely covers exactly what we asked for. So what I did was I noted the few times where they did not give a 1 response. So I don't know if it was useful just to give you the list that I came up with. It may not be all of them, but I saw the answer to A26 was response code 2, A43 was 2, D31 was 3, and D38 and 39 were 4, which is not applicable. And then, at least for them, they were not giving any response on the EF mail ballot. They weren't responding on those. But for example, when the other one we're looking at today, for all the things other than E and F, I think they gave 1 answers for all of them. Mm-hmm. So it for me, not being a technical person, it became a little bit difficult to compare them when they're using their own, they're self-scoring themselves on that. So it's kind of hard to tell. Is it truly a 1 answer, you know, with what they're giving us? I mean, that's what they're telling us it is, but we still have to make that determination. And I'm not able to do that the way that the technical people would be. But I thought it was interesting to see the few times where they didn't give themselves a 1.
And you will find that there are some vendors who did not do that. These two did. In most cases, that's probably a pretty good answer, because a 1 means, yes, we can provide this without any additional customization, any additional costs. And probably that is the case for most of the clients.
It would be nice to know on all of them. It's too bad they didn't fill it out. Did that disqualify them? If they didn't fill that portion out? That they could
no, I think
meet
what,
all
I think,
of it?
I think what Al meant was that not everyone gave themselves 1s,
right.
Ones in every category.
Right. There are vendors who give themselves 3s in some categories and 4s in some categories. You don't
do it. Yeah, but you don't do it. I thought they left it blank. I'm sorry. I apologize.
We do have the scoring that I'm printed off for you if you want from just these two vendors for Appendix B and all the system requirements of value to you or not. They're all 1s except for 2s.
Would the committee like to look at that?
Mentions. Pardon me?
I don't think that would hurt for the future. Now, is that something we should leave here also?
No, you can.
As we're reviewing it at home, I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, you'll see it. You'll see it in there. This is a summary of it. So.
Okay.
And it will be probably of more value when we do this for the ones who did not give themselves all 1s.
Well, at this point, in large part, what we're dealing with are simply the assertions that the vendor is making of what it can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of the reasons why you have to do
This will be very helpful when we are setting, watching the demo.
Mm-hmm. You said you could do it. Now show us.
We want to see it. That'll make demos very lengthy.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's going to be a long day.
Well, I would rather find out now.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Otherwise, it'll be a very long election night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brady.
Thank you.
Well, I think part of what the evaluation that you folks need to do, and I know it's what technical people are doing, is okay, if they gave themselves a one, they said, we can do this. Is that supported in the narrative? I mean, what they've written about their system? You know, generally, if they're one, and they're going to describe it pretty well. Pretty well. But you may pick up something where you have questions about. Said they can meet this completely, but as I'm reading what the narrative about how they're going to do it, it doesn't get.
I was trying to say people at home, I put it on my iPad, the books.
Yeah.
But you can't make notes on that.
Yeah. Well, we have lots of cookies.
I mean, I'd be jealous.
And again, I apologize. I'm not able to give everybody their own hard copy of this and binders. We've got another committee we have to use these for as well. And we've got most of them distributed out to the evaluators, and I pulled some back from the evaluators to have enough to be able to share with you here so you have a hard copy. But we do have them all online.
And I would also assume that this is certainly not our last chance to comment on these as we go through the next few weeks.
And I think that's valid. I think you probably want to structure it to where once you get through that even these five vendors that have proposed the voting system, they're the most complex. Once you get through them, you may want to go back and review all of them because then you have the entire context there, mm-hmm. Of what was proposed. Mm-hmm. And it may raise other questions.
I agree with you.
And then maybe it would be appropriate for this committee to use some sort of scoring sheet, maybe not to the technical level of these, but maybe formal scoring sheet from us.
And hopefully by then we will be able to, by the time you get to that point, we'll be able to provide you with the evaluations done by the technical.
That would be very helpful.
So you have another meeting scheduled for next Thursday,
mm-hmm.
from 10 to 4, to go through the remaining ones.
Coming up soon.
And you'll have a little more time to read them.
I can pick you up the better plane if you need.
Qualified and posted and all of that. We had to redact some information because some of them put the confidential information in here. And so we had to take some time. I apologize, you only had a day or two to look at these two. And you may want to revisit these two.
I will at home because it seemed like I was tied up for a couple of days right when they came. And having the time to go through them personally. I don't have staff.
I don't have staff I can put on this either. I was trying to imagine that yesterday. I thought, who could I get to do this? And I didn't come up with anybody. So next week, can you kind of, Al, so I have my to-do list, or Sheila, which one should we plan on reviewing for next week? Everything else, even the ones that are not total systems, or just the other system ones?
Well, I would suggest you prioritize the other system ones.
Okay, but then
that's three. I don't think the remainders are going to be a hard read for you
because they'll be much shorter.
Yeah, they're
okay.
Offering this.
So just read it all. Yeah.
So it's okay. ES and S, everyone counts?
No, it'd be ES and S.
ES and S, everyone counts, and Clear Ballot.
Oh, Clear Ballot. Right.
Al, can you just clarify? I have it on my calendar for Wednesday. It's Thursday, you're saying to me?
18th, whatever the 18th is.
That's
18th
Wednesday.
18th is Wednesday.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
And Al, can you tell us what we're looking at for January? Do we have dates set up already, or?
We do not. And that's something we'll need to discuss at your next meeting.
Okay.
So.
Do we anticipate going into February, or is this supposed to be?
We're hoping not. We're hoping to be able to get to demos by the second week of January.
Okay.
Based on preliminary, if you don't.
It'd be best for us.
If you don't just throw everybody out, or anybody out, then we invite everybody to do the demos. If you disqualify somebody and say you still want to even consider them, then we will ask them to do the demos. Those still standing will be asked.
All right. I just wanted to point out there was a clerk's conference,
yeah,
like the 20th or the 24th or whatever that is. So that week it will definitely be out for.
The calendar calls for us to have a recommendation to the secretary by January 31st.
You know, that with the blackout period, that makes it really hard with us having a conference. For everybody that is at that conference,
this will just do the best we can. But should we move on to Dominion, though? Yeah, we'll take a short break. So 10 minutes. So at 20 till, we'll be back.